I'm Tiffany Anton from the Biz Foundry, and I have Taya Phillips in this morning from Metaflex Glove Therapy. Taya, welcome.
Thank you, Tiffany. I'm happy to be here.
So tell me what Metaflex is. We're going to get into the history and how this was created and all that, but what is Metaflex?
So Metaflex is a glove that I invented to help people with arthritis and other hand conditions to build strength, reduce pain, and just get back to feeling good and regaining their independence. So it's the world's first grip strengthening compression glove.
So it's really so people who are just have hand pain and they have trouble gripping things, opening jars, playing sports, I'm guessing, some of those things. And you saw a problem with people who couldn't, you know, were not living their full lives, essentially.
Yeah. So it started with arthritis, the most common disability among U.S. adults. And the two most recommended therapies for people who have arthritis in their hand are grip strengthening and compression. Compression's easy enough. You buy a compression glove, but grip strengthening requires you to remember to do your exercises, to have the time to do it, to have some exercise equipment with you. And people weren't doing their exercises. And I saw this in my grandmother. She didn't, you know, have the money to go see the physical therapist to stay on her to do her exercises. So we created a wearable grip strengthener so that you wear the glove, and then instead of having to take time out of your day to do your exercises, whenever you're scrolling through your phone or doing anything,
typing on the computer,
grabbing your water bottle, anything where you're closing your hand, you're working against those resistance bands to build your strength.
And what made you realize that this specific product needed to be on the market, that it was different? I mean, what made you come up with that people weren't going to therapy, or that there needed to be an alternative solution?
Yeah, well, I had two other co-founders who kind of identified the problem and then brought me in and needed
someone. And they were medical students, right?
Nursing? One of them, yeah. Okay. So Sergio, nurse; Ashley, chemical engineer; and I'm a mechanical engineer. So they asked me to design the glove, and I immediately had the design in my head. I started doing more research. And realized how big of a problem this was, that it affected someone close to me, and that nothing like this existed. It was such a simple idea, but no one had done it before. And so I spent years and a lot of brain power and a lot of love went into crafting the perfect product that's personalized for everyone. It's totally adjustable to fit the hand health needs of everybody.
So when you were when they first approached you to join the team, were you like, I'm an engineer, like I'm gonna do cool things, like, you know, work for Y12 or do things like that, you know, design a cool piece in a car, or not a glove, like an old people glove? Was there any part of you that was like,
oh yeah, 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 I'm like, this isn't my problem, you know, I can't. I love my grandma so much that I really resonated with her pain, and I understood the importance of wanting to feel your best, and seeing someone so strong who had to ask people for help. Like I knew that was debilitating for her, and that this product would help her. So when Sergio was like, I got this idea, we were in a club together called Innovation in Healthcare when we were studying at Tennessee Tech. And I was like, my first meeting, I came in, I'm like, I'm an engineer, I want to design something to help people. If I can help you guys with anything, let me know. And he's like, actually, you know, like later after the meeting, he's like, I need to talk to you about something. It just fell into place.
And you took this product, and at the time it was very, very beta prototype at the time, but you entered into a contest that Tennessee Tech does called EagleWorks.
Yes.
And so tell me about EagleWorks and tell me about that process. And this was
2018.
Okay.
Yeah.
When you entered that process. And so what is EagleWorks?
Yeah, EagleWorks is amazing. It's a student pitch competition that Tennessee Tech University hosts for all of its students. And we entered in, and we had the idea in like late 2017. So the pitch competition's in the spring. We entered in for the for the spring pitch competition, and we started early enough that we got to take advantage of all of the resources that Tennessee Tech has for students competing in the pitch competition. So I worked a lot with, you know, Mike Lakins and Andrea, and of course at the Biz Foundry, Jeff and you, and Jeff was instrumental in coaching me on my pitch and on my business plan. And I took a class actually that helped me prepare for it as well with Susan Wells, and she was incredible. And as an engineer going into this, there were so many things that I had no idea, you know, so customer discovery, marketing, all of these things, you know, make sense to me now, but they were all very new and things that I had to learn. So I worked really hard. The whole team worked really hard. We were really diligent.
So we this did our is best. A, like a side hustle essentially to your classes.
Yeah.
So this is just like kind of like joining a club, but a really high stakes club, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because the prize is $10,000 when you were there?
It wasn't. It was six.
Okay.
But that was still really good. So we worked really hard and we won first place. And that was $6,000. And we also won biggest social impact. And that really touched me. Yeah. And my grandma was in the crowd and she was excited. And I talked about her. And it validated that this is what we needed to be doing. And then we got the opportunity from there to go and pitch at the student pitch competition and launch Tennessee hosts. And
in,
we
Nashville.
Won third, in Nashville. Mm-hmm. And we won third place right behind two, you know, Vanderbilt PhDs, yeah. We're undergrads. Sergio had left the team at that time, so it was just me and Ashley, two women. We were the only, like, women-owned company. And we were up there holding our ground and won some money there, too.
Do you feel like when you started learning about EagleWorks in this competition, which is like Shark Tank for mm-hmm. students at Tennessee Tech, did you feel like, yeah, this is great, I want to win this, I believe in our product, I believe in our business? Or was it just like, eh, sure, I'll do this, like, who, you know, something to do?
Oh, I was passionate about it from the start.
Yeah.
I can't do anything halfway. So yeah, I knew that we had a big opportunity. I knew from all of the research that I had been doing that it was a big problem, that people suffered with it. We went and interviewed therapists, physical therapists, occupational therapists, doctors, certified hand specialists. And they were telling us, yeah, these things are recommended. This is needed. And then it felt kind of also like a responsibility to be the person that brings it to market so that we can make it affordable for everyone. But yeah, from the beginning, I was working really, really hard and diligently on this idea.
Did you think that was part of it, is doing that research? Did you like that part of it, things? Because so many people are like, oh, I have this idea, I'm going to start a business. And they really just start going and not put in the due diligence and the research and the customer discovery. Did you feel like that was important, or was like, I got to check off these boxes?
You have to do it. I mean, at first I was like, oh, got to check off these boxes because, you know, I'm an engineer. I'm really introverted and a little socially awkward at times. So going and doing interviews and talking to people and cold calls and, you know, being like, what do you think about this idea? And being vulnerable like that is daunting, but totally worth it. Absolutely something that you have to do when you're developing any idea is talk to your customers and talk to your users and see if it even makes sense for you to spend all of this time and all of this energy on.
And see if there's an actual problem. Like, your grandma was having a hard time with something and she was having a hard time going to therapy. Well, maybe that's just a specific problem to your grandma. And really, no, you know, we're so married to the idea of a problem sometimes that we can't look at the bigger picture and really dig in. How much has that part of things, that research, that digging in, how much has it helped you now as a business owner when you're pitching to investors or you're trying to talk to Walgreens about trying to carry your product? How much did that, you know, as a semi-socially awkward introvert, how much has that helped you?
Yeah, it's helped a lot. It's something that you absolutely have to do because you need to know as much as you can going into those types of conversations. And I've learned and learned and learned, especially with the investor part. I mean, a distributor is a little easier to figure out than investors. They're They don't tell you up front what they want, and they have a lot of lingo that you got to learn, and you need to understand how to communicate with them in a way that resonates with them and is not just like, I'm going to help a bunch of people and I'm going to make it super affordable. Like, yeah. You have to tell them like how you're going to grow the business and make it profitable and get them their money back.
Your profit margins and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And you're a young female in your early to mid 20s.
27. 20.
Okay. That's mid 20s still.
Yeah.
And so how intimidating has that been along the process of things of like, no, I am legitimately a business owner and take me seriously. Has that been tough for you?
Yeah. I don't think intimidating is the right word, but frustrating is. Because I feel, and I've said this before, I feel like I've proven myself again and again and again and again and again and again. Over and over. Like, I am capable. I have led teams. I have, you brought up Y12. I mean, I got a pretty good job right out of college that I left to start my own medical device company once I was confident in my abilities to lead and to execute on all of the different things that this business needed, which was, you know, FDA registrations, which I led our company through. I didn't hire a consultant. I did the research and I read and I educated myself and was able to get us FDA registered and a lot of other things too. So it's
We're going to get into the Y12 and kind of where that took you and how that added into things in just a second. We'll be right back. Thanks for sticking with us. I'm Tiffany Anton from The Biz Foundry and I have Taya Phillips from Metaflex Glove Therapy Inn. So we've been talking about all the ways that you invented, why you invented, why you, what Tennessee Tech did to help kind of launch you. But you did not enter college thinking you were going to start a business. That wasn't your intention. You had this dream working for Y12, which is part of Oak Ridge National Laboratory?
They work together,
okay.
But they don't work. And they both work for the Department of Energy.
Okay.
And Y12 was something that I discovered after I was in college when I started, you know, applying for internships and co-ops and all of that. I mean, freshman year, because I knew that I needed experience to get a job and I didn't know where that was going to be. I started college thinking robotics was cool and then I didn't like circuits. So I was like, I'll do aerospace materials. But
what made you even pick mechanical engineering? I mean, it's a very male dominated area.
Yeah.
It's a... were you the typical, I was a math science nerd in school. Mm-hmm. So people are like, you should be an engineer. I don't want to be, I'm a people person. So that's not my thing. But, you know, why did you pick engineering in the first place?
Yeah. I liked puzzles. I liked math. I was good at math. I liked problem solving and I thought it would be interesting. My parents didn't go to 4-year university. So my mom has her associates in accounting, but they didn't really steer me towards anything. I grew up in a rural community where not a lot of people even went to college. So I had no idea what to do. But I had this friend and he and I were good at the same classes and he was going for engineering. And so I looked into engineering and all of the different disciplines and I thought mechanical seemed the coolest. Like, I didn't know what I was going to do, but I knew that mechanical was broad enough to take me anywhere that I wanted to be.
Do you think mechanical engineering is like the engineering equivalent of a business degree, general business degree, where it just kind of it's versatile?
It's super versatile. Yeah. Because in any other engineering, you still need a mechanical engineer. Anything you're building, if it's moving, you're going to need a mechanical engineer.
So you decided to go work for Y12 when you graduated. And you kind of put Metaflex on a pause at that time. Your other business partners were kind of falling out. But you did have that passion. So you were on the back burner, keeping it going a little bit. It was a simmer, if you will. But you were like, I'm going to focus on a career.
Yeah. So,
and I remember at the time when you graduated, people were like, oh, if you don't do this now, you're never going to do it. And you're like, I want this job. I have my dream job.
And I needed money. I'm graduating college right now. I ain't got nothing. Yeah. How am I supposed to start a medical device company and like register with the FDA and like do all of these expensive things? So no, I heard someone came to Tennessee Tech and they did a talk about Y-12 and they said that they got a security clearance. And I was like, say less. And I applied for every internship they had open in 2018 and I got the internship. So I, you know, was doing Metaflex in late 2017, early 2018. And then I won the pitch comp. I won EagleWorks, and then in like April, and then in June, I started my Y-12 internship, and I loved it. I loved working there. It was amazing. And it was some of the coolest work that I have ever done. And at the end of my internship,
can you tell us any of the things that you were working on?
Well, as an intern, I was working on additive manufacturing research. So we were printing metals,
okay,
which was really, really cool.
Yeah.
It was, yeah, the first metal printer that I had seen. And it was a SLM printer, which means that they can make really intricate designs. And like, so... I won't go too deeply into it, but it was
we're not
so
trying
cool.
to put people to sleep on their drives to work this
yeah.
morning.
So at the end of my internship, I got a job offer, and then I obviously accepted that because mm-hmm. they offered me a great deal of money. And then after my internship finished up, I went to 3686 student pitch competition. We won third place, and then I graduated in December and started at Y-12 in January. So it was like they were happening at the same time, mm-hmm. Metaflex, and then this opportunity with Y-12. And I needed some money, and I wanted to work somewhere cool, and I had the opportunity, so I needed to take it. And when I started at Y-12, I told them that I had a company and that, you know, like I'd like to grow it one day and be doing that full time. And they giggled, you know, and they were like, yeah, great.
Was it almost like a little bit of the pat on the head, like, that's cute?
Well, I mean, I was interviewing with one of the coolest bosses I've ever had. Like, he was amazing. So I didn't feel like a pat on the head, yeah. but maybe internally he was thinking that. Outwardly, it was just like a nice smile. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. So you kind of warned them. Mm-hmm. And so 2019, you start at Y-12, dream job, thinking, okay, I mean, not like giving up Metaflex completely, but really focusing on your career. I mean, you're young. But still, like, there's only so many hours in a day.
Yeah.
So you really weren't putting a lot of effort and energy into Metaflex at that time. And then what made you get pulled back into like, okay, I'm going for it. I need to do this and I need to do it now and I need to do this full time.
Well, again, two things happened at the same time. My grandma, her health started to get worse. And going back to responsibility, I felt like I had something that could help a lot of people, and I needed to do that. And at the same time, I had been at Y-12 for 2.5 years, a little over that, and I was ready for, you know, the promotion or the next thing, and I was looking internally at that company and externally, and then I started reflecting, and I'm like, I've got something that people need, and why not just take the opportunity right now to bet on myself? So I started, you know, working more on Metaflex as I was, you know, on the weekends and at nights, and grew it to the point where I needed to be focused on that solely.
How scary is it to bet on yourself? Like, how
terrifying?
I mean, what made you like? Part of me wants to, like, you know, hands on your hips and say, "Who do you think you are, betting on yourself?"
Yeah.
So what, I mean, where did you get that confidence to do that?
I think it was a lot of the work that I had done up until that point, because I was taking on responsibilities in different areas of my work as an engineer. Like, I was starting to lead teams, and I was learning, you know, some programming and just different skills. And I felt like I could do it. I had been studying business, honestly, since my first co-op in 2016. I was churning through my work so quickly that my boss was, you know, trying to find more stuff for me to do. And I'm like, who else can I work with? And I started working with the scheduling department, redoing all their stuff, and a lot of other departments in the company. And so I just felt like I knew I was ready. I felt like I was ready. I'd saved up a little bit of money. That I, you know, invested, I liquidated everything and really bet bet on ATS, and it's been fruitful now.
And what when was that you decided to go all in with ATS Metaflex?
At the end of 21. At the end of 21.
So it's still like kind of post COVID era, and it was like, okay, let's do this. We've seen what the world can come of the world, and so why not be in business for myself? Why not have the control of running my company the way I want to run it and all that kind of stuff? And we've survived a pandemic, so might as well survive launching a company full on.
Yeah. I knew that I loved what I was doing then, but I didn't want to do that forever. I had watched other people's career paths, and I'm like, that's amazing, but that's not where I want to be.
Yeah.
So there was a path. There's this future in front of me that I can't quite see how anyone else has done it, but it's the future that I'm going towards. And so I'm like, the only way to get there is to do something drastically different.
Big. We'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Tiffany Anton from the Biz Foundry, and I have Taya Phillips from Metaflex Glove Therapy in. We've talked about a lot of things so far, but one of the things that was very important to you and has always been important to you is that this is an affordable product.
Yes.
Why is that so important to you?
Because I grew up without a lot of money. Because I have cried over $40. Yeah. And because I've seen the effects of not being able to afford healthcare. Again, like we're just going back to my grandma over and over again, mm-hmm. because that's my why. And yeah, so we made something that you can use at home that is the cost of a copay. We sell the Metaflex glove for $39.95 for a pair of gloves. And this is new technology. There's nothing like it on the market. I could have set any price in the world. And I would have set it lower if I could have, honestly.
Why, though, sometimes in business, you can devalue yourself by underpricing. And so have you struggled with that somewhat where you want to be able to, like, be Oprah? You get a pair, you get a pair, you get a pair. But then you want people to really understand how amazing this product is. Have you gone through that balance of, like, trying to kind of figure out exactly the best option for you?
I have. And my solution is that I have the Metaflex glove, which is $39.95 a pair. And I'm developing more versions that can be priced higher, that are, you know, a little more elevated in the design, a different material. And then we can price those higher and show that it is this like exclusive premium product. But also, like, I want anyone whose hands hurt, anyone who's struggling with grip strength, to be able to walk into a store, to walk into All Good Family Pharmacy, you know what I'm saying, and grab a pair of Metaflex gloves.
How hard was the process of, like, you talked early on about figuring out whether this was something that was needed and figuring out who your customers were. And then you had to, like, you had this, you know, beta product, you know, a prototype, and then you had to get this manufactured.
Oh, that
and
was
you
difficult.
Had
that
to,
was
like,
so hard.
Figure out how to get people to actually sew and figure out what sizes these are and how to make sure that you're keeping the integrity of the product and the grip strength. And how did you figure out all those things? And you are what? I mean, you keep saying we, and I'm gonna blow the surprise.
It's not
that.
We, it's I.
It's Taya. Taya's by herself here. But so, I mean, how do you do all? I mean, you have people that support you, and we're going to talk about investors in a second, but how do you figure it all out?
I work really, really hard. And also, I have the benefit of being an engineer. I have that education. I have all of the work that I've done as an engineer. Like, mm-hmm. I have made so many drawings of how to build other people's airplane landing gear, you know, like, yeah. I've got all of this experience. And so making the sheet that I need to send to the manufacturer, the specifications, the tech pack, and saying, this is how you need to make it, this is a Metaflex glove, that was easy. The difficult part was all the things I didn't know, which was that my manufacturer needed to be registered with the FDA. And what that meant, what went into that. So I, you know, manufacturing took me years. It took me years to find the right manufacturer because I didn't know where to look, and I was calling all the wrong people. And here is the secret that I found to finally find an FDA registered manufacturer. There is a database that you can go to. Just look up FDA registered manufacturers, FDA establishment registration, and you can look up your product code, and you can find, you can sort by manufacturers and sub-manufacturers. And then I just started calling that list. Well, I went to their website first and saw what they made. And if I thought they had the capabilities to make the glove, then I'd call them. And then I, you know, started finding success in finding a manufacturer. But I did go through months and months of working with a manufacturer that was not FDA registered. And then when we got to the point where, like, I was ready to go to market, they didn't have the things that I needed, and they needed money to do that. And then I had to completely change. So that was a big problem that I faced.
Yeah. I mean, there's just a lot to learn. So, you have, we've kind of danced around this issue, this topic a little bit. So you have decided to take on investors for the business.
Yeah.
And so just like Shark Tank, where you pitch and investors invest in your company and you're giving away a percentage of equity, which can seem scary sometimes. It's like, it's your company, you're giving away part of it, but then it's like, well, 100% of a dollar is a dollar, and you know, 1% of $1 million is still a lot of money.
Yeah.
And so it's okay. So you decided to work with Launch Tennessee, has which is a state run program, and they have some funding. And then locally here, there's Upper Cumberland Investors, Angel Investors group that you were able to pitch with. And so you were able to get funding from both of those organizations.
Yes. Yeah.
So tell me about that.
That was amazing. So because of the way that I've got the business planned out, we needed more money than I have. I was able to save up enough to really get us going, but I needed to take on some investment. And so, again, I did a lot of research. I looked at how people raise money. I listened to a podcast. I read a lot, and I realized that convertible note was probably my best bet. And I, you know, put together a plan, and I pitched, and I was told no over and over and over, like 100 times. Like, I've pitched to so many investors. It takes so long. And this is another part of research that you have to do, is what kind of investors do you want? And it's not like anybody, because not anybody wants you. Like, VCs write bigger checks than the round that I was raising. So I would pitch to them, and it wouldn't be a fit.
VCs, venture capitalists.
Venture capitalists, yeah. So they write, you know, $1 million checks, and I wasn't raising $1 million. Angel funds are where I needed to be. So they're coming in for your pre-seed and your seed round, which are the first rounds of funding that you raise.
So this is like kind of after your own savings, your friends and family, and then you go to, you can find angel investors.
Yes.
And these are, just to put it as bluntly and directly as possible, rich people of our community.
These are rich people in our community that have successfully run a business and want to help other people do it. So I put in every single cent that I had and then some. And then I got some really sweet loans from my advisors, who were incredible. And then from there, I needed still more capital, and needed to start pitching angel investors. And so the Upper Cumberland Investment Alliance invested in me, and I am glad to be, you know, their inaugural or their first investment. And then Invest Tennessee matched that, which was incredibly helpful.
Well, and the other thing with getting investors is not only very similar to Shark Tank, and I keep going back to that, but you also get the expertise and the mentorship, because these people care about their money. They're putting money into your business, and they want to see a return on that. And so instead of just somebody handing you a check for whatever amount of money, that mentorship is pretty valuable as well.
It's so valuable. And you need to get the right investor, because not everyone is willing to work with you. Some people just want to give you money and go. But the UCIA up here, I have met with many, many, many members of that group, probably for, you know, vetting me. They want to make sure that it's right. But I have asked them so many questions and gotten a lot of great advice. Like, I went to my first trade show a few months ago, and some of the guys had been to trade shows many times before, and they gave me really good advice, like to wear a little costume. So I got a researcher's lab coat and put Metaflex on the back of it, and people loved it.
Yeah, yeah. So what? So you said that in the future, you're looking at developing other, you know, maybe sports products, or where do you see this company going in the next 5 to 10 years?
More versions. Yeah. We need more colors. We're going to get into the athletic market. I'd like to help out our military as well and our veterans. And, then we can look into industry and, see how we can make things that are specific to different problems that people have, like people who are typing on the computer all day. Maybe they'd like a fingerless version. So there's a million different things and ways that we can take this technology and elevate it and bring it into new categories. So
do you think? Do you see yourself ever getting away from the gloves and the hand arthritis?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, and I think like at the end of the day, you don't have a medical background. You have a engineering background, but I'm sure you've learned so much about arthritis through this process.
I have studied. I'm a studier, so I've got, you know, diagrams of the hand saved and all of that. But yeah, actually somebody said I'm basically a biomedical engineer at this point, so I'm just going to go ahead and grab that title along with, you know,
maybe
the
tech will give you an honorary diploma for in biomedical.
Oh, yeah. Tennessee Tech, what do you think?
Yeah. Phil Oldham, if you're listening.
Yeah.
Taya Phillips, get her on the phone. So where can people buy these locally? You are based here at the Biz Foundry is where your office is.
Yep.
And so where can people buy locally if they're, you know, aside from knocking on your door at the Biz Foundry?
Yeah, yeah. So I'm in the Biz Foundry. If you buy on metaflexglove.com, they're going to ship right from Cookeville to your home. And if you want to pick them up and not wait for that shipping, you can go to Family Wellness Pharmacy. You can go to All Good Family Pharmacy. You can go to Nunnally Drugstore. And there's a handful of others that are coming soon. And if you're outside of Tennessee, we got those options too. Metaflex is really growing and booming. We're also on Amazon.com, which a lot of people like.
Yeah, that's well, and that just feels, I feel like there's a huge amount of pride of having your product on Amazon. Like,
I did not want to be on Amazon, but my grandfather told me that he would buy my glove if it was on Amazon. I'm like, I made the website. It's not going to take your information and like do something wrong with it. But, you know, so I reluctantly
got
on Amazon.
For grandpa's sake, you had to do it.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for being in here today, Taya. I am so excited. I mean, just in the last like 5-6 years to see what you've done with Metaflex and see where you take this. I'm really excited to have a front row seat to your journey. And
yeah,
so
thank you for having me, Tiffany.
Thank you so much.